Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth Central Christian Radio Program. I'm your host, Brian DeLore, and I'll be here for the next 15 minutes sharing with you about from the Word of God. And today's topic of discussion is on the subject of souls are won through preaching, not through prayer. There is a teaching that has been circulating through the body of Christ for many, many years that you can pray people into the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches no such thing. And I don't know that they like to use a verse of scripture from the book of Acts when Paul and Silas were in prison for preaching the gospel and in Philippi. And they had cast the devil out of a girl, so they were cast into prison for that. And at midnight, they sang, prayed and sang praises to God. And there was an earthquake, and the Philippian jailer came running in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So immediately, people jumped to the conclusion that that verse of scripture means that when you get saved, then you have a right to petition God, and he will save your household. That is not true, and I'm going to show you that today from the scriptures, because this is an erroneous teaching that has caused a lot of confusion and frustration amongst believers who have been in that situation, and yet their family members never accepted Christ, and they eventually died and went out into eternity without God. Let me just say this first, that salvation is contingent upon a person's acceptance or receiving Christ as Savior. It's the person's will. God has given us all free will. God will not force anyone to accept Christ or to do anything else for that matter. And unfortunately, now, of course, if you believe in the 5 points of Calvinism, one of which is irresistible grace, then, of course, you can believe in predestination and believe that God will make a person get saved. God doesn't do that. God only saves those who choose to accept him. He saves them first by presenting them with an opportunity to be saved by sending an evangelist or, you know, they pick up the Bible one day and read where the Bible teaches people to accept Christ to be saved. There's numerous ways that God can move upon a person, but they have to be presented the opportunity first. And then when they're presented that opportunity, of course, they have the free will that's been given them by God to say yes or to say no. And you can't force them. You can't make God force them. God will never force anyone to accept Christ. Now, of course, it tells us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that God wills all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, that's true. God's dispositional will is for everyone to be saved, yet not everyone will be saved. We know that. But I mean, the Bible tells us that Jesus tasted death for every man. Would that not include the Antichrist and the false prophet? Of course it would. Those people were given the same gift. Jesus died for them as well as he died for anyone else. And at some point in their lives, these men will have been given the opportunity to accept or reject Christ, accept or reject the gospel. And unfortunately, we know that in their case, what they will do. And of course, millions and millions, tens of millions, billions probably, along with them. So Jesus died for them just like he died for everyone else. The Bible makes it clear. And yet there will be people who will not accept him. That's just a fact of life. And so, you know, I understand that when people have unsaved friends or loved ones, it's only natural after you've been saved to want them to come to Christ because you know what it means. You know what Christ means to you. But unfortunately, not everyone can receive that. They don't want to receive it. They walk in darkness, and Jesus said, you won't come to me because you love darkness rather than light. See, some people love their sins. Some people love darkness. Some people love being a child of the devil. They don't exactly realize that they're a child of the devil. In fact, if you told them that, you would probably have a fight on your hands. But nevertheless, they just don't see things that way. And they're blinded to the truth by the devil. And yet the light of the truth of is what they reject. It's sort of strange how that can happen, but it does. But people are sometimes predisposed to these things. There are just some people who will not believe no matter what they hear, no matter what they see, no matter what, you know. And so then at that point, it's all on their head. You know, the book of Ezekiel, and I forget which chapter it is, tells us that, and I'm paraphrasing, but it tells us that if we don't preach to the lost or to the sinner, well, that man or woman will surely pay for their sins, but the blood of those people will be on our hands. On the ones who refused to preach the good news or to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation through him. However, on the other hand, if we do preach the gospel to those people and yet they still reject it, they'll pay for their sins, but their blood will be upon their own head. It's not on yours anymore because you've discharged your duties. You've done what was required of you. And yet, that's just what the Bible says. So that tells us right there that not everyone will be saved. Not everyone will accept the truth. They just don't want to accept it. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, there's a couple of verses of scripture I need to get to. Very quickly, because I'm running out of time. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, there's a situation where Jesus had gone and preached. He had gone to a certain area, and Pharisees there came up to him complaining that his disciples break the commandments of God because they eat with unwashed hands. And Jesus said, but you break the commandments because you don't honor your mother and your father. And then he called together the multitude and told them, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but rather what comes out of a man that defiles a man. And that's true. Adulteries, fornications, and all acts of evil come from the heart of man. See, the Pharisees had it backwards. And he told them that you teach as doctrines, commandments of men. And he just really gave them a scathing rebuke. And then the disciples came unto him and said, Lord, do you not realize that the Pharisees were offended by thy saying? In other words, they didn't receive it. And so Jesus said to the disciples, leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. So, you know, Jesus didn't appear to worry too much that the Pharisees didn't receive the gospel. He just took it for what it was, and he left that area and just continued to minister as he always did. Didn't seem to be overly concerned with the fact. In fact, he didn't seem to be concerned at all with the fact that they had rejected his teachings. And then we have a situation in the book of Acts, chapter 19, where Paul is in Ephesus, and he and Silas cast the devil out of a demon-possessed little psychic, little girl who was a psychic. And because she had made a lot of money for her masters by soothsaying, well, let me back it up. I'm getting off into something I didn't intend to scratch that. There's a situation where Paul went into the synagogues, I'm sorry, and he reasoned there with them for approximately 3 months. And after reasoning with them, it says diverse were hardened. And when diverse were hardened and spoke evil of the truth or evil of that way, which is the gospel, before the multitude, Paul separated himself and his disciples and taught in the school of one Tyrannus. So here's another situation where Paul did not, again, seem overly concerned or concerned at all with the fact that these people had rejected the gospel, because they had been given an opportunity to accept it, and they rejected it. And so he just moved on. There is also another verse of scripture where Paul went to the Jews, and they rejected what he said. And it says he shook the dust of his feet off against them. And, you know, shaking the dust of your feet off of your feet was symbolic of God's judgment upon an individual or a nation even. And so then we have another witness in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. And it's a marital proposition where a husband and wife, you know, one is saved and the other isn't. And if they be pleased to dwell together, you know, don't separate, don't get a divorce. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart, for a brother and sister is not in bondage in such cases. And then Paul goes on to say, for who knows, thou wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or husband, whether you shall save your wife. In other words, who knows? You see, the unbelieving departed regardless of hearing the truth, regardless of hearing the gospel. And Paul tells them, you know, who knows? We have no promise from Scripture that we can pray our loved ones or our friends or anyone else into heaven. And I know that there has been stories, and I don't know how true they are, but I believe it was Charles Spurgeon and Charles Finney who claimed to have marvelous conversions in their meetings after spending hours in prayer interceding for the lost. Personally, I do not believe that's true. You know, I'm not obligated to believe something because of someone else's experience. I'm only obligated to believe what the Word of God teaches. And so that's what I do. And that's the purpose of my sharing this message with you today. Many of you have family and maybe even friends that you want to see born again into the kingdom of God. And so you believe that you can pray for them and they will be saved. And the Bible teaches no such thing. Now, I'm not telling you not to pray for people, but there's a difference. Pray for them to see the truth, but you cannot pray for them to be saved. I mean, you know, when Stephen was being stoned, he didn't pray for them to be saved. He prayed for God not to lay that sin to their charge. Jesus, when he was being crucified, said something similar, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But he didn't pray for them to be saved. That just cannot be done. That is not scriptural. And like I said, you can pray for them to see the truth, you know, and that's the best you can do. But you cannot pray for a person to be saved and expect God to answer that prayer, because salvation is determined by the will of the individual who needs to be saved. And if that person decides to reject the truth and reject the gospel, then, of course, they will not be saved. And that's most unfortunate when that happens, but sadly, that's reality. That's what the Bible teaches. And I hope this message has been a blessing to you. I have 18 seconds left, so I'm just going to leave you with this reminder: keep the faith and defend the truth.